Hashem, we'll start here on Daf Yud Omid Aleph, but just to review quickly what we said on Thursday, we came to the conclusion that with regard to a lechi that is visible and discernible from the outside, but not on the inside, and that's called Nirah Mibachutz V'Shom Bifnim, Nidon Mishum Lechi, even though we had a tiuvta, we proved from a brisa about a chotza ketana that was prutza to a chotza gedola, and the chotza gedola was 11 amos wide, the chotza ketana was 10 amos wide, and the brisa, based on the Mishnah, was matir tiltal in the chotzer hagedola, but not in the chotza ketana, and we came to the conclusion based on that brisa and its interpretation of the Mishnah that a lechi hanirah mibachutz v'shoveh mibifnim eino nido mishum lechi. But the Gemara answers that we have a Tani Rabbi Chiya Kavase, and based on the Tani Rabbi Chiya, we're going to paskin that nirah mibachutz v'shoveh mibifnim is nido mishum lechi. And we actually had three different halachos that we derived. That was called Shema Mino Atlas, and from the Sugya of Rav Huna we derived three conclusions. One conclusion was that Bein Alechayayim is Asur Betiltol. The other conclusion was that Meshach Mavui Arba Amas, and the third was Niri Bachutz V'Sham Bifnim Nidom Mishum Mishum Lechi. On Daf Yud Amud Aleph, you'll see that the lines get wide, and down from the top of the wide lines, if we count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, you'll see the two dots, and that's what we want to start today. The Mishnah says, HaRochav Me'eser Yemait, that if the entrance into the Mavui is wider than 10 Amos, then the Lechi or the Korah will not be Matir Tiltul in the Mavui. We have to be Mamait. We somehow have to diminish the width of this Mavui. It cannot be more than 10 Amos, 10 plus Amos wide. And now, although the Mishnah doesn't mention any dissenting view, Abaye is going to quote a brisa that quotes Rabbi Yehuda. Omer Abaye Tana v'arocha of me'esa yamait. So the first Tana, the first opinion quoted in this brisa, reflects the opinion, the sole opinion in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda omer ein tzarch lemait. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no need to be mamait. The fact that the entrance into the Mavui is 10 amos plus is not a problem. And you could still be matir this Mavui with a lechi or a korah, despite the width beyond 10 amos of the entrance into the Mavui. The Gemara wants to know v'yad kama. Now what v'yad kama is a question that hides a certain premise hidden under the surface, and that premise is that even Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to agree that at some point the width of the Mavui is too great. He may go beyond 10 Amos, allowing for an entranceway that's wider than 10 Amos, but there's got to be a limit. And today we want to know what that limit is. We're going to study today one opinion, and that's the opinion of Rav Achai, in terms of how far Rabbi Yehuda was willing to stretch it. And tomorrow, Belineta will study another opinion. So now we're focused, I just want to give you a heads up, on one particular perspective on Rabbi Yehuda. Sova Rav Achai, Kame de Rav Yosef Lememar ad Shloshesre Ama Vishlish Ushlish. So the opinion of Rav Achai as he presented it in front of his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and again, this is all to finally interpret Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, is that the maximum width is going to be 13.3, meaning 13 and a third amma, which sounds as like a very strange, you know, kind of uneven number, irrational number. You know, why is it so complicated? And the answer is that in this interpretation, Rabbi Yehuda derived his conclusion about a mavui from something called passe biros, a concept that we've encountered in the past, but we'll have to review it again. And Rabbi Yehuda came up with a kal v'chomer, and he thought that the case of a mavui is a lot better than the case of passe biros. And if passe biros is going to allow for an opening of 13 and a third amma, then how much more so in the case of a mavui, which is a lot better than passe biros, certainly an opening of 13 and a third amma should be valid. So let me just review what we know about passe biros. And we're talking about a reshus harabim, a public area with all the conditions of reshus harabim. But at one point there's a well of water. Now, in a minute, I'll explain why it's so critical to get the water out of the well on Shabbos. But first, let's talk about the dimensions of this well. This well is 4 tefachim wide, and a minimum of 4 tefachim wide, and 10 tefachim deep, which gives it the status of a tel. If you remember about a tel, tef lamin, that's a reshus hayochid. You could have a reshus hayochid of a tail that goes up vertically above the ground, and it has that width. We once spoke about, if you remember, garbage dump, you know, if it has a din of a reshus hayochid because it's a tail that goes up 10 tefachim above the ground, and it's 4 tefachim wide, 4 tefachim square wide. And we could talk about a bar. A bar means it's subterranean, but it has the same dimensions. It's 10 tefachim deep, and it's 4 tefachim wide. And therefore, the well is reshus hayochid. If you were to draw water from that well and take it out to where you're standing in a reshus harabim, that would be meleches hotzah. Now, Chazal had a very profound or powerful agenda here to be matir, to somehow find a halachic permission to allow drawing the water from the well out into reshus harabim. What was the big deal? Now, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of taking a walk on Shabbos in a place where there's no eruv, like in cities in Europe. So you make sure that you're not carrying anything, but you need water desperately. If you're going on a long walk, imagine taking a hike in Barcelona, Spain, on a Shabbos, and you're going out to the Gaudi Gardens there, you know, it's going to take you an hour each direction. You have to have water somehow. And this was the experience of the Jewish people when they came on Aliyah LeRegel. And they converged from all of parts of the land of Israel onto Yerushalayim. And they needed drink. And they needed to drink, you know, to give water to their animals as they were on their way on this trek to Yerushalayim. But the problem was, you know, if the well is in a highway, you know, it's a reshus harabim, and the well has the dimensions of reshus hayochid, how can we allow this? So the heter was based on passe biros. And what they allowed was the following. Imagine an L of 90 degrees, and you add two pieces of, let's say, it could be a metal, or it could be wood, that would meet at this 90 degree angle. And the dimensions of these two possum, each of these two possum was placed at a different corner around the bar, right? So you had, let's say, the northeast, the northwest, the southeast, and the southwest. You had these two L-shaped 90-degree possum, and they were each one amma high. Okay, so it was a pretty serious piece. Now, what was the distance between one pas, well, it's really a pair of possum, if you will, and the other one? And the answer is, it was 13 and a third amma. That was the distance that was allowed, the maximum distance between one pas and another. And what was the underlying logic, or halachic logic, I would say, of this heter, of this leniency? It was to view imaginary mechitzos on all four sides of the well, of the bar. And he writes the following: Din pase biros mevur b'mishna lahalon yutesam et beis. Kishayesh Birshusa Rabin Bar Mayim Amok Asar Tfok Mirachav Arba Dino Minatorik Rishusa Yochid Vinimto Sheyefshar Lishov Mimenu Mayim B'Shabbos. So if the bar had the status of Rishusa Rabin, because it was 10 Tfokim high and it was 4 Tfokim wide, there was no way that you would be allowed to take the water, draw it from the well out into Rishusa Rabin. That would be Melechus Otzah. Tiknu Chachamim. Chachamim made an enactment. Sheyasu sviv habar ke'en arba mechitzos. There were four mechitzos surrounding the bar, but in truth there weren't four mechitzos. There were four imaginary mechitzos. Al yidei she'amidu shnei pasim berochav ama bechol keren zovis. Hanikroim dumadin. Pas echel l'chol tzad. V'nimtza sheyesh b'chol tzad shnei pasim b'rochav amma. So I said it was an amma high. He's emphasizing that it was an amma wide. Again, one amma wide and another amma wide on each one of these four L's that surrounded the bar. Ubeinayim, between each one of these dumadin, halal, there was an empty space, meruba, which was much, obviously, larger than the pasim themselves. And what do they choose when the Rabbanan made this enactment? How much of a space would they allow between each pas? Kidei shir, shiacholos lamod bo shmona paros. It would be the size that you could set up 8 cows, okay? And how much is the size of a shear of 8 cows? That's shloshes rei amos u'shlish, 13 and a third amos. That's a wide enough space to set up 8 cows. So I guess 8 cows was considered, you know, in one shot, you know, if you take 8 cows and you want to bring them to the bar, you know, that was considered the number that was significant. V'lishov avura mayim in a bar. Obviously, the cow is not able to get access to the water, but we would draw the water from the bar and feed these 8 cows. Oh. V'af shem chitzos elu. Oh, here's the gigantic revolution here, the innovation of this enactment. It's parutz meruba ala omed. Usually when we want to close off an area, with mechitzos, if there's some sort of a pirtza, then we need that the omed be meruba ala paritz, that the majority of this area that's closed off is in fact closed off. Here, in this case, because you're allowing for a distance of 13 and a third amma that's open, that's parutz, that's a lot more than the one amma on each side that is set up as a pass. Because if you take each side, you really have two ammas. You have one amma on this side and one amma on the other side. That's two ammas. And now you have 13 and a third amma, which is the shear of Shmona Paros. Well, that's going to be Paritz Meruba Ala Omed. And nevertheless, the Chachamim allowed it in order to facilitate the possibility of drawing water on Shabbos for the benefit of the Ole Regel. Now, I'm not telling you that the Ole Regel were actually on their way on Shabbos. They probably had an encampment on Shabbos, but they needed the well. And they were able to draw water from this well on Shabbos itself, on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, because they were creating a Rishus HaYachid around the well. Now, how could you create a Rishus HaYachid around the well unless you start building mechitzos? So they allowed him to build these diomdim, or pasim, which would give you one arm on each side. That was sasum, that was closed. That was omed, if we could use that term. And the parutz had to facilitate eight cows, which is 13 and a third amos. So it's a case of parutz merubala omed, which in other contexts we're going to see that's prohibited. But on a takana derabanan, since on a doraisa level you have these mechitzos, again they're imaginary, but they are mechitzos, they're going to rely on that din d'oraisa for the sake of the heter here of pasei baros. Okay, that's just the
Rabbi. I don't understand the one amos and the 13 and the third. I thought I understood was the distance between the walls of the two pasei.
Correct.
But what's the one amos? I thought it was the height. Now you're saying one amos
is the width. Yeah, I think it also has to be the height. But we'll focus on the width.
No, but if the width across the board, is that what you're talking about?
What I mean by the width is, let's say I'm standing outside of the Passe Baros, looking in towards the wall, towards the well. So what I'll see on my right is a pass that comes towards me by one amma, and the same on the left. In between those two pasim that are standing totally of two amos, I'm looking at an open area, open air, of 13 and a third amma. And I can do that standing on any one of the four sides.
The thickness of the walls, the thickness of the pasim is one amma.
I call it width. I mean, if that... Because again, when I say width, I'm standing up a board. How wide is that board? You know, from east to west, from right to left. It's one amma wide. Okay. How thick it has to be, I don't know. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it could even be a mashu, you know, being the smallest thickness. We're not talking about the thickness, we're talking about how much is covered, so that between each one of the pasim, wherever you stand, you'll always see one amma on your right and one amma on your left. And if you imagine that those are closed, you have a mechitza. Now you have four mechitzos surrounding this well. But the airspace in between each one of these four mechitzos is enough for eight paros, which is 13 and a third amma. Comes along
from natural corner to corner, it'd be 15 and a third.
Correct. That is correct. So now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to analyze the case of Pasi Bros, and he's going to derive a Kal V'Chomer to be Mater Mavui. And this Kal V'Chomer is based on the fact that a Mavui has three bona fide mechitzos. Real mechitzos, not imaginary mechitzos. We're just trying to get an imaginary mechitza through a Korah and a Lechi on the fourth side. But Pasi Baros is all four imaginary mechitzos. Uma Pasi Baros. He tarta bahen paritz merubala omed. You would allow it even though it's an imaginary wall. Again, times four. And it's mostly airspace. All you have is one amma here, one amma there. And lo itarta bahen yosef ishlosh esrei amma v'shlish. You've allowed for an open airspace of parutz, which is 13 and a third amma, is mavui, shelo itarta bo parutz merubala omed. We're even more machmir in the case of mavui, right? Because in the case of a mavui, we're going to require an omed merubala parutz, at least in three of the four. You may remember that we had a whole sugya back, I think it was on Daf Hey or so, I don't remember where, in which case one of the four sides was parts. It was broken up. And, there we had various requirements and shitos, and we had parts merubala omed. Or if you remember, we had a sugya about a lechi that was very long, in the fourth side of the mavui, and that also had to be equal, like five amas and five amas, if you remember that. In any event, eno din shlo tatir bo yosef mishlosh esrei amo ushlish. In other words, again, the logic of this kavachoma right now is very, very difficult, because we're saying that we cannot be more mekil in mavui than we can in pase bros, but right? And if in pase bros the maximum width that's open airspace is going to be 13 and a third, the same maximum width has to apply to a mavui. I mean, that's a little bit odd, because we're saying that adarabba, mavui has more of Rosh Hashayachid than pase bros. And that's what the Gemara asks over here. Vehia no senes. You know, if you're giving me a svara based on pasi bros, you should come to the conclusion, adarabba, that the airspace in the case of a mavui should be even, we should have allowance of even a wider airspace in the case of a mavui. Pasi bros, she tarta bahen, poritz meruba ala omed, is lo tatir bahem yosef mishlosh esrei amma ushlish, but mavui, shelo itarta bo poritz meruba ala omed, is tatir bo yosef mishlosh esrei amma ushlish. In other words, there's something about Rav Achai's logic here that doesn't make any sense. Because again, we're going to have another sheet in Rav Yehuda that allows a larger opening than a larger open space in the fourth side for a mavui, according to Rav Yehuda, larger than 13 and a third amma. And Rav Achai says no, that this brisa will limit you to 13 and a third amma. That's Rav Achai. I mean, again, it's not Rav Yehuda's statement was just eino tzarch lemait in the case of eser amos. And Rav Achai says in a very stingy kind of way, we'll allow another 3 1/3 amma above the 10 amma. Why? Because if in the case of pasi muvos we only allowed 13 1/3. Then in mavui we're only going to allow 13 1/3. So the Gemara says he had no senes. The logic is just the opposite. Why are you being so stingy and limiting the heter of Rabbi Yehuda to 13 1/3 amma based on pasi biros? In pasi biros you were very, very mekil, and you allowed parts merubala omed, but at least there has to be some, you know, close proximity between the various pasim. But in the case of a mavui, where we really have a mavui sosum, and even on the fourth side, it's going to be rov sosum, because it's going to be parutz meruba ala ome. It's going to be ome meruba ala parutz. Is then we could allow a broader opening in the entrance, more than 13 1/3 amma. You shouldn't be restricted and limited by that 13 1/3 amma of pase biros. Inami, I could ask this kasha in a different way. Leidokis on the other side of it. We should be more machmer in mavui than we should be in pasi biros. Why? Pasi biros that kilta behu chad kula. Once in the case of pasi biros, you were mekil, and you allowed for all this airspace between the pasim, which is paris merubala omed, is ekil behu kula achrina. Maybe we could be mekil again for that pressing agenda of allowing, you know, the animals to drink the water from the well, and we could be mekil, and we could say that the pirtza, which is now considered a pesach, we could be mekil even as far as 13 1/3 amma. But in the case of mavui, we didn't find any kulos. You know, we weren't more lenient. We always required omei merubala paritz is klalu klalo. We can't be matir a pirtza that's more than 10 amos. In other words, the Gemara is offering two pieces of logic to differentiate between, on the one hand, mavui, on the other hand, pasi biros. One logical analysis would lead me to the conclusion that mavui should get an allowance of more than pasi biros, more than 13 1/3 amma. The other approach is to restrict the allowance of 13 1/3 amma to pasi biros and don't derive any conclusions and jump to any conclusions as far as a mavui is concerned to allow 13 1/3. 10 is enough. That's it. But to justify Rabbi Yehuda with this kal v'chomer from pasi biros makes no sense. Why? Again, let's just go over the two possible ways of slugging up this kal v'chomer of Rav Achai and in his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. The first way of rejecting it is to say that why are you limiting the mavui to an opening of 13 1/3 amma based on pasi biros? In the case of mavui, because it's much more sasum, closed on all sides, than the case of pasi biros, we should allow and be lenient to permit even a greater open entranceway on the fourth tzad, even if it's more than 13 1/3. And the other way of approaching it is to say that, you know what, the whole enterprise of pasi biros is a kula. We were lenient. And if we were lenient in one way, we could be lenient in another way. We were lenient in allowing Paritz Merubala Omed, where it's really open on all four sides, and yet we're going to consider it as a Rishus HaYochid. And now we could go a step further and be Mekil and say that if these imaginary Mechitzos are separated one from the other by 13 even more than 10 Amos, meaning 13 1/3 Amos, that we could be Mekil. But in the case of Mavui, we don't find any Kulos in a Mavui. On the contrary, we need Omed Merubala Paritz, and we have to have four mechitzos that are real mechitzos. Who says that we're going to allow more than a pirtza of 10 amos? And the Gemara really at this point seems to leave Rav Achai out in the cold. You know, it doesn't really offer any defense for Rav Achai. Now, what I'd like to mention here is the Rashba. The Rashba says, how can you say that ein matirim b'mavui pirtza rechava yosem yeser amos? The last three words in our sugya so far were klalu klal lo. In other words, we can't go beyond the 10 amos restriction. Hare oskim ono ato bebir shitas Rabbi Yehuda. We're trying to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly that a pirtza, in the case of a mavui, could be wider than 10 amos. And you don't have to be mamait. You don't have to diminish that opening. So what are you saying to me when you say, well, klalu klalo, ubir, and he explains, shekavodas hagemar lochiach, she efshal lumot is din mavui, mi din pasi biros. It cannot be that Rabbi Yehuda came to his conclusion allowing a mavui to have an opening of more than 10 amos based on pasi buros. Shekei michad gisi yesh makom lahatir bo yosef mishlosh esrei amos ushlish. We have one logic that would say that we could be more makil in the case of mavui and allow more than 13 and a third. Umeidach on the other side, yesh makom shelo lahatir yosef miyaser amos. And we know that that's not the din. Rabbi Yehuda allowed you more than Eser Amos. It couldn't be that he derived it from Pasei Buros. That's the thrust of this Gemara, according to the Rashba. Now I want to share with you another question and answer in the name of something called the Gilyon. Gilyon means sometimes they print on the sides of the Gemara, on the margins, various comments. Now we're going back to the Kal v'chomer of Rav Achai, that Kal v'chomer itself. And he wants to say that if in the case of Pasei Buros they only allowed a pirza of 13 and a third, then how much more so in the case of a mavui they should not allow more than a 13 and a third. Hiksha begilion, ma kal v'chomer uze, hare matzinu bepasei buros, chumra, shetzrichu chachomim lasos bohem, shem arba mechitzos, v'tzorch laniach pasim b'chol arba tzdodim, v'ilu mavui dailo b'sholosh mechitzos. The whole premise of Rav Achai, that we have to be more machmir in the case of pasei buros, let's go the round. The Kal v'chomer itself of Rav Achai was that if in Pasei Buros, where you were Mekil, and you allowed parts Mubala Omeid, and the max that you allow in the pirtza between the two Pasim on each side is only 13 a third, how much more so in the case of Mavui, where we were more Machmir, We should certainly limit the allowance of a pirtza to be 13 and a third. So the Gilyon asks the following question. I don't understand the logic of this Kal v'chomer. I'm going to prove to you that in Pasei Buros, there's a chumra. And if despite that chumra, the maximum allowance was 13 and a third amah for the pirtza, then in the case of Mavui, which doesn't have that Chumrah, certainly we should have the maximum pirtz of 13 and a third. What is the Chumrah in Pasei Buros? So he says the following, that in Pasei Buros, we have 4 mechitzos. In Mavui, we only have 3 mechitzos. And how does he see this? Because since the Chachamim, in the case of Pasei Buros, require Pasim on all 4 sides, and there's an imaginary Mechitza that connects each one of these Pasim, so therefore the area around the well is now surrounded by 4 Mechitzos. But in the case of a Mavui, you really only have Shalosh Mechitzos, because on the 4th side, it spills into Rishus HaRav, doesn't have a 4th Mechitza. And therefore, and so again, I just want to theorize the kasha of the Gilyon. Why does Rav Achai say that in the case of that it's for sure that you cannot be matir and be mekil in mavui more than 13 and a third, because Madoch in Pasei Buros we were Mekil, and we allowed Paritz Merubala Omeid, and you were limited nevertheless to the Pirtz of 13 and 3rd. How much more so in the case of Mavui, because Mavui is relatively more Kal, in Mavui we were more machmir, And why are we more machmer? How does Rav Chai demonstrate that we are more machmer in a mavui? Because we disqualified Paritz Merubala Amud. And therefore, there's no way that we can be more lenient in the case of mavui, because we see that in mavui we're more machmir, so we can't allow for more than 13 and a third. So the Gilead asks, what do you mean? Your premise is that Pasi Bros is a kula, and mavui is a chumra. And that works out with Paritz Murbala Amud. But, says the Gilead, I'm going to demonstrate to you that there's a chumra in Pasi Bros, which does not have its parallel in mavui. And that is that Pasi Bros requires four mechitzos, whereas mavui only requires three. V'tireit shafal pichein din mavui chamur mi din pasi bros. Shekein mavui tzorch shiabo sholosh mechitzos gmuros. V'ilu abar eino tzorch elika ein arba mechitzos. So he says, what? Just one second. Again, he wanted to prove that Adarab Pasi Baros is more chamur. He's saying, no, Mavui is more chamur. Why? Because although Pasi Baros requires four mechitzas and Mavui only three, but the Mavui requires three mechitzas gemuros, real, tangible, obvious mechitzos. Mashenkein, Pasi Bros, you don't have any mechitzos gemuros. So they're all imaginary mechitzos. Okay. Now, we want to study the following question. And again, we're going to come back to Rabbi Yehuda later on, but right now, we want to know the following. Let's say you have a mavui that has an entranceway of 20 amma. And the question is, how could you be machshir such a mavui? Tunnel Levi, Levi has a brisa. Mavui shu rachav esrim amma. And therefore Lechi and Kor will not be effective. Is Noetz Kanabem Tsaiso? You put down a pole in the middle of the entranceway, with splitting it to 10 amos on each side. Vidayo. And now, as a result, you now have two different entranceways. That pole, vertical pole, in the middle of the Pesach HaMavui, splits this mavui into two psachim. It's got a pesach now of 10 amos here on the right, and another pesach of 10 amos on the left. Now, again, my goal here is to study Rabbi Kivega with you, but first, let's see if, I don't know if we're ready yet for Rabbi Kivega. Who Tani Lava, who Amar Lava? In other words, even though Levi himself was the one who brought this brisa to our attention, nevertheless, he rejected this brisa. Why? The Ein Halacha Ka'osa Mishnah. He calls it a Mishnah, but he means a brisa. And this Kana is not effective to split the Pesach HaMavui into two. And that's because there's open air on both sides. Right? So you know, the idea of a Pesach is that you have a kosel on one side and a kosel on the other side. Well, in the case of this kana, on the right side of the kana you have airspace, on the left side of the kana you have airspace. That cannot be considered the Pesach of the Mavui. And the language here of Rashi is that Avir mitzad echad shalakone, the Avir mitzad sheni shalakoto, mevatlin oso ki'ilu eno kaya. The airspace on the two sides flanking this kone nullifies the kone. And he could diamri, and others say, Omer Shmuel, Mishmei de Levi, Ein Halacha Kosa Mishnah. So the first suggestion of how to be matir, a mavi that has a 20 amma entrance way, is rejected. And now the Gemara is going to supply another suggestion, how to, you know, engineer a heter for this mavi that has a Pesach of 20 ammas. Okay. Now, are we ready for Rabbi Kivega? Just give me a second. Yeah. We're ready for Rabbi Kivega. So again, let's just review. Rashi says, Osi avira dahai gisa u dahai gisa mevatala lakana. So Rabbi Kivega asks the following question. I don't understand why Rashi needs this business of the avir here and the avir there on both sides of this kana. The Gemara doesn't say it. Rashi is the one who adds it. Hare afim nomer she'ena avir mishnei tzadim v'vatil sakana v'emtza. Let's say I reject this principle and avir is not effective or powerful enough to be mevatil the kana. Mikol makom. Rashi could have offered a more basic answer to this question. Eina kona moil lahatir samovui. Sherei pesach hamovui rochvo esrim amo v'afim nolid mishir rochvo shel pesach es rochav akona adayin pesach rochav yoser mi eser amos. V'yena kona moil lechalikas amovui lishnei mevos shekol echem mehem rochav eser amos kifishim va'eres ha'gemora legabi ose pas gavoa sor. Okay, so there's one gemara that's coming up that we didn't get to, which is a sugya called ose pas gavoa asor. What Rabbi Kivega is saying is that what is the width of this mavui? It's 20 amos wide. If you were to separate, you know, somehow, you know, how should I say, divide this mavui into two mavos, each one that has an entrance of 10 amos, that's fine. But the Gemara is going to explain later on that you can't set up a, you know, some sort of a kana. Well, the Gemara is going to talk later on about a pas, but you can't set that up and break up the mavui into two mavos. So what you're left with is one mavui. And if you're left with one mavui, then this mavui is 20 amas wide in its entrance. But what does Rashi need this whole business of avir Mihaigis of Yavir Mihaigis of Mavatale Lakona? Forget about that. Don't talk to me about Mavatale Lakona. Talk to me about the fact that this Mavui has a Pesach of Esrim Amma. And guess what Rabbi Kivega answers? He answers Tzorich Iyun Gadol. That phrase, Tzorich Iyun Gadol, when it appears in Rabbi Kivega, that's world famous. It means Ke'ilu, there's no answer to this question. When Rabbi Kivega, you know, sometimes Rabbi Kivega writes Tzorich Iyun, it means you need to think about it and come up with an answer, but sometimes he says Tzorich Iyun Gadol. So there's an entire literature here on this kasha of Rabbi Kivega, because to the same extent that Rabbi Kivega claims he doesn't understand Rashi, the Achronim claim, who came after Rabbi Kivega, they don't understand the kasha of Rabbi Kivega. Why? Rabbi Kivega's problem is, based on his sugya later on, that a kana, some sort of vertical pole, cannot separate and divide a mavi into two different mavos. Forget about that. I couldn't care less about that. Mikomakom yachol hu lechalikas pesach hamavi lishnei psachim. We're not interested in two mavos, we're interested in two psachim. You can have many different entrance ways into a mavoi. And we've discussed this on various occasions. And now we have two different entrance ways into the same mavoi. And therefore Rashi has to come up with an explanation as to why this kana has no power to create two different openings, two different entrance ways. And the answer is because Asi Avira the High gives. That basically the kana is not considered as if it's omed and sets up an opening, but it's eino omed, it's not standing, because it's surrounded by avir. And therefore cannot be mechalek this Pesach into two psachim. So again, keep in mind the following. Rabbi Kivayger thought that the kana is functioning to create two mavos, and that Rabbi Kivayger couldn't understand. Since this kana cannot create two mavos, it's a dover poshut that the kana is not going to help you here. You got one mavui and it's got an opening in 20 avos. So the kana is not going to help you. So why then does Rashi need a new svara that avir mi idach gisa mi chad gisa mi avir is mevatel a kana? Forget it, there are no two mavos, and he's going to prove that from a Gemara later on. So the Achronim say that's not the point of this kana. The kana is not to set up two mavos, like the Gemara later on. The kana is to set up two psachim. And that's what bothered Rashi. Why does the Gemara reject the possibility that a kana, a vertical pole, cannot function? Yeah, that was a double negative. That the Gemara rejects the following, that the kana cannot possibly function as two different psachim. Why not? Right, you have, let's say, on the left side, so you have a kosel on your left and a kana on your right. That itself is an entranceway. Or if you're standing on the right side, you have a kosel on your right, and you have the kana on the left. So the answer is, says Rashi, because this kana is batel. It cannot create a new Pesach. And why is it batel? Because you have the avir that surrounds it on both sides. Well, what does Rabbi Kivayger want over here? Rabbi Kivayger lays down a premise which we don't understand why. And his premise is that the purpose of the kana is to create two different mavos. No. It's just creating two different psachim. And that's what Rashi wants to know, why the Gemara rejects that possibility. Ella, says Gemara, Hechi Ovid, can you give me another substitute, a method of being matir, this mavui that has a Pesach of 20 Amma, Amar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. And here we turn to Daf Yud Amid Beis. Ose pas gavoa asora b'meshech arba amos umamido li arko shel mavli. Now we want to create two mavos. How can you take one large mavli and split it into two? What you do is you build a small wall, so to speak, right down the middle of the mavui. It doesn't have to go from the entranceway of the mavui all the way in. It has to go four amos into the mavui. And Rashi points out, it's got to be 10 tefachim high. So it has the status of a, like what would be a mechitza. So you've got this little teeny wall, so to speak. It's really like a miniature wall because it's only 10 tefachim high. 10 tefachim high is like up to your knee. And it's four amos penetrating into the mavui. And since this pass has a four amos depth to it, therefore, it creates a mavui. When I say it creates a mavui, what I mean is that anything to its left is a mavui, and anything to its right is a different mavui. And now we've divided up the mavui into two different mavos, each one that has a pesach of 10 amos. So again, you have the kosa on your right up to the pas, that's one mavui. You have the kosa on your left up to the pas, and that's another mavui. And each one of these two mavos is lacking a Pesach that's wider than 10 amos, and therefore we can put up a lechi and a korah. And the mefarshim write here that, this is a Rashba, you need two lechis, or two korahs, or one lechi and one korah, meaning now you have two mavos. Each mavo needs its own heter. So this is the Gemara's first possible method of dividing up a mavui that's whose entranceway is 20 amos wide into two mavos. Now, the Ritva points out that back on Daf Hey, we had a machlokes between Rav Yosef and Abaye about what the shear of the length of a mavui is. Abaye says that the minimum shear of a mavui has got to be 4 amos. And that sheet is reflected here in our Gemara, that if you want to separate this mavui, and you have now this pas to create a new mavui, it's got to have an orech of 4 amos. Because that's the shear of the orech of a mavui. The minimum length of a mavui has to be 4 amos. However, Rav Yosef, back on Daf Hey, says that the shear of orech of a mavui is 4 tfachim. And therefore, according to Rav Yosef, if you're building this pas that's 10 tfachim high, and it's got to have a width which enters into the middle of the mavui, it would only have to be 4 tfachim high. Our Gemara reflects the Shita of Abaye. Now the Ritva has another point over here. He says that the Pas does not divide the Mavui into two Mavos, but rather it serves as a Heker to make it into two Psachim. Right? Remember that we discussed the Achronim against Rabbi Kivega. The Ritva actually reflects that Shita, that by putting up this pas, you set up 2 psachim. I just want to mention that Ritva. Then, the last few minutes of the shir, I want to present another possibility of how to be matir this mavui that has an entrance that's wider than 10 amos. Inami. This, in reality, this inami is a third possibility, but the first one was rejected, so it's really the second possibility. And let's not forget that the first possibility that was rejected was that vertical pole, which has 10 amos on each side. That was rejected, but the pas that goes into the mavui, and it's 4 amos into the mavui, that was accepted. Inami k'Rav Yehuda. Now let's be careful. It's Rav Yehuda, not Rebbe Yehuda. You know, we're talking about an Amora, and we're trying to interpret the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. That's a Tana. The Yomer Rav Yehuda mavui shurachav chameshes rei amo. So in this case, he's got an entranceway of 15 amma. So your standard is 10 amma. And then you had a really wide entranceway that we discussed until now was 20 amma. Now we have more of a modest entranceway. The width of the entrance is 15 amma. And he wants to be machshir this mavui. So what does he do? Marchik shtei amos. The Osepas Sholosh Amos. So let's choose a wall in the Mavui. We'll call it the right wall. What he does is, he is going to allow for an airspace at that corner, you know, where you enter from the Rishus HaRabim, from the Kosel, he's going to allow for an airspace of 2 Amos, and then he's going to put up a pass that's 3 amos wide. Again, Don, we're not talking about the thickness of the pas. We're talking about its width as it goes from right to left, closing off the entrance of the mavui. And here we're going to utilize the principle of omed merubah al haparetz, because again, the open area we said was 2 amos. And now you're closing it with 3 amos of a pas. And then you are allowed to consider the open area as if it was closed. So as if this pas went straight across, you know, both directions, 5 amos. So you've basically now minimized or diminished the width of the entranceway from 15 amos down to 10 amos. And that's fine. Why? Because a Pesach of 10 amos is acceptable. Okay, that's where we're going to stop for today. I'm going to just make a note of it. And Yom Shlishi is like, well, I don't see why we shouldn't meet.